Hey, welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. We're so glad that you are here. I want to reel you in because today's conversation is going to be a fun one. Today we are going to be talking about loneliness.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a thing for you. Maybe it's not. Whether or not you feel lonely, I want to encourage you to listen all the way through because I bet you know some lonely people. How you doing, Aaron? I'm here with Aaron today, by
Great.
The way.
Doing well.
Aaron, we are in not the middle of the World Cup. We're towards the end of the World Cup.
Yes.
And it has been fun. The reason why I bring it up is because, you know, so all the host nations, Canada, Mexico, and now the U.S. are now out. So what are we doing here now, right? Isn't the World Cup over? No, just kidding. But there's been some good football going on. Let's just call it football, right?
That's what the world calls it.
Yeah, so, yeah. But my algorithm knows that I'm into the World Cup. And I saw something that was really interesting that kind of led to the conversation for today. But it was this young person going on there. He's like, hey, guys, when the World Cup is over, can we normalize hanging out during the week? And he's really talking about how throughout the World Cup, you know, people going out, going to bars, going to restaurants, even during the week to watch these games and cheer on the team that you want to go for. Or really, some people just don't need an excuse to go out, right? But yeah. Some people do. And it was really interesting because, again, this is a young adult. And so I go to the comment section, like that's where all the comedy's at, right? It's, I mean, the entertainment's really, it's never in the videos. It's always in the comments.
It's the comments, right? Yeah.
So, but the comments to me oftentimes can give a pulse to where people are at, what they're thinking. And it was interesting to see that some people were like, yeah, no, we have to, you know, like, and but some people were saying, wait, we weren't already doing this. But it just was a reminder to me of a couple things. One, when I was a young adult, I didn't think it was rare that I would hang out during the week. I had a full-time job, yet I would still find ways to hang out throughout the, yes, quote, work week. And again, I'm not saying full-on party or going out places, but at least with a couple of friends, finding things to do. We were talking about, you know, maybe for us as Christians, after midweek service or after young adults, going out, hanging out during the week and doing things. Well, here this person was making this video, and it, to me, it identified or magnified the notion that people just aren't hanging out like maybe they used to, or just aren't hanging out much. But this World Cup changed some things, or it kind of incited like, hey, let's gather, let's make community, let's do things, let's round ourselves around our team or whatever.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking. Well, do you have any initial thoughts on that? And I'm going to read some stats.
No, I right there, I had a friend from childhood that I was responding to a story about the World Cup. And he said, hey, man, we should get together and let's watch a game soon. I said, well, let's watch a game soon.
Yeah.
So I can see how, you know, there's things in life that will unify people.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. And so it shows the need for community. It shows that, you know, maybe getting together to catch up with friends or community isn't as hard as we make it. Mm-hmm. I know life's busy and schedules are busy and there's always reasons to not. But at the same time, hey, there's benefits with hanging out with your people, hanging out with some friends and catching up and touching base with those that maybe you haven't seen in a long time because we're designed for community. So I'm right there with you.
Before we go too far into the topic or the episode, I do want to identify, I think it's important, and we got to talk a little bit before we got started, that by no means are we trying to say, unless you are hanging out X amount of times or have this many friends on speed dial, then something is the matter with you. Because naturally, we talked about some personalities, there are maybe less inclined to want to hang out. They prefer being alone.
Yep.
They like their space. But that's different from being lonely, right? Like where they have those people who maybe prefer be alone do have access to community or aren't lonely. Someone might call them or they can call somebody. So what I'm not trying to do is saying, you know,
you're not broken.
I'm not saying you're broken unless you X amount of times a month or a week.
Right.
But it is important to recognize loneliness as a thing. And again, these are just some general stats. The U.S. Surgeon General identified loneliness and isolation as a public health epidemic. One in two adults experience levels of loneliness, which is, 50%.
50%.
And here's an interesting stat for you. 71% of Gen Z adults have said that they've experienced loneliness, which is interesting because while they are the most connected generation in terms of social media and all of the different ways that they have access to other people, when it comes to real life A lot of these young adults are expressing that they feel loneliness, which is the reason that why it contributes to it being an epidemic is because what happens when you're lonely, where your mind goes, and that's where out of this often can be anxiety, depression, all these things that really cause a lot of things. And then this one, who knows? It's an internet stat.
Uh-oh.
But they did connect it to the Surgeon General, but they said that loneliness can be equivalent health-wise to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Now, we know 15 cigarettes a day would be really harmful to your lungs and all these other things.
Yeah.
And so to say loneliness has similar, not to your lungs, but depending what you're doing when you're not alone. But so that was an interesting stat.
That was very interesting.
So for Christians, for those of our viewers, those of our listeners, I wanted to unpack this a little bit and kind of go into identifying some of these things. And then, like always, trying to find some of the solutions or what we can walk away with.
Yeah, you know, I think there's obviously a time where, like you said it, we're the most connected generation in time right now. And yet most disconnected, you know. And I know a lot of the younger kids, like they'll say like, hey, like it's a win if they can get their friends out of the chat. In other words, get off the text messages and get into real life and real connection. But, you know, at the same time, I do think that there's, you know, there is a responsibility as believers to be able to take the ownership of taking the initiative and being proactive to getting in community and fellowship. And so I just think about, think about Jesus. Like Jesus, literally the Son of God, God in the flesh, was very intentional with his friend group. You know, he had his 12 and then he has three close. You know, he had James, John, and Peter that were his road dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, we weren't designed to do life alone. And I like that distinction because, you know, I have a brother, for example, and my brother loves to just be by himself. Like he's cool people, but he don't need a lot of people to enjoy himself. He's cool with just being at home and just doing his thing. And that's it. Maybe every now and again, he'll pop out for a family event. We had something last week and we're like, come on, like everyone's going to go do something. He's like, I'm good. It's like, there's no reason not to join us. Like, will you come? Yeah. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, okay. And that's just the way he is. And I wouldn't say he's a lonely person. I don't think he would either. He's very content with his day-to-day life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, there is other people on the other flip side of the coin that, man, you know, isolation is detrimental. It can be. Mm-hmm. It can be dangerous. It could be a place where people begin to, you know, allow. And I think it's important. Let me finish that first thought. Allow themselves to be able to get disconnected not only from believers, but honestly at times from God. And that's where the enemy will use those things to be able to distance, to make people get into a place of no longer being present, but kind of being out of touch with just everyday stuff. You know, there's a conversation one time I heard that some, like, people who live alone, or maybe it was an Instagram reel.
Yeah.
They live alone and they're just doing their thing.
A Wall Street Journal article.
Right. Something like that. But they live alone and they're like, oh my gosh, like they're always talking in their head, but they don't talk out loud. And it's like, they kind of forgot like what it sounds like to just hear their voice because they're always just in their own world.
Yeah.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, those things necessarily, but at the same time, you know, I think it's important to identify, okay, what is the design of God for our lives?
Yeah.
Are we designed to live alone? And
yeah.
I think you've mentioned it, like Genesis, it talks about, you know, in the very beginning, like you see Adam in the garden that God created, gave him dominion over, but then, you know, he wasn't alone. He had God. Not that God was any less than Eve, but God was clear. It's not good for a man to be alone. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Adam literally has this garden with God.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but it's not good for you to be alone.
Yeah.
And so he brings my helpmate, right? And so I think it's just really important to identify. Maybe you can kind of speak to this, Pastor Antonio. Like, you know, you've been over, you know, you've been in young adults, being a part of it, serving it, leading it for 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've seen so many people, you know, live in isolation, live in community. But at the same time, I think it's been said like this here. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go with others.
Yeah.
And there's people who aren't going with others. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that they're finding themselves to just be alone. Mm-hmm. And not only alone, but lonely.
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe from your experience, what you've seen, how do you speak to those who maybe don't see the importance of community? I'll share this last thing before you share. There has been studies that have said that if you do not give a newborn baby love and affection, If you just give it its essentials of just feeding milk, but no love and nurture and care, the baby will die. So what does that say? It says that we were made for connection, for community, for nurturing, doing life together. And just what do you think? What do you think you have seen? What have you seen that has maybe been up some red flags, but then some green flags? What do you say to those who are lonely right now that need community?
Yeah. You know, there's a few things. One off the bat, just to answer that question, if you do feel lonely, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're like, yeah, that's me, I'm alone. One, there's hope for you.
Yeah.
Meaning like don't buy into the lies that you might be saying. And I don't think you need to have, don't believe lies also that say you need to have 20 friends or unless you're in all these group chats and, because comparison is a thief of joy, right? Yeah. So if you really are just comparing to people that you think, oh, they're doing this, they're doing that, those are lies too. And we want to get into some of those things. But like you mentioned, over 20 years, you do kind of see different things. And I've been able to identify, or I've observed different seasons of life in my own life, in my own friendships, my own personal relationships, but also with those who are walking through life. Again, working with young adults, you know that's one sector of the population that it's very unique, because oftentimes young adults are not living the same life that maybe someone in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on has, because the responsibilities aren't usually the same, not always, right? But it's this unique thing where you're technically an adult, and meaning by technically you are 18 plus, you're an adult, you have some of the freedoms, there are more responsibilities, but you kind of get this path, this pass in society that you maybe you're not working a full-time load, maybe you are just kind of working jobs that you're feeling out different things, so there's not the same weight, right? So that means your day-to-day work, if you're a student, you know, you have classes that start at different times. So maybe you're a night owl and you have time to go out late. Or I remember, like, who hangs out in the middle of the day during the week? Well, young adults, college students, right? Like, who goes to these places? Why are these people here? Sometimes those young adults, that population, because of that uniqueness to their thing, they're out and they're about. But what I say all that to say, what I've identified with people that they're excited, they come to know the Lord, they're getting in community, they're involved in church. Back then when we were weekly, they were at young adults every week or at least very often and had all kinds of friends.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they'd be gone. When it really wasn't just all of a sudden, it was, hey, they stopped hanging out with this group. There was maybe a tiff between this guy or this gal, or they stopped being friends, or this happened. And then they're coming less, and the next thing you know, they're not coming at all. And sometimes they go to another church, which is awesome, or sometimes they walk away from faith because of relationships that have gone awry. So I think relationships really contribute, community can contribute to just the overall health of our life, our faith walk, our journey. But also in those 20 years, I personally went through different seasons. So while I'm still kind of working with the same sector of people, I also learned from another perspective of, hey, my schedule looks a little bit different. In my mid-20s, I got married. Well, married hanging out looks a little bit different. For my wife and I, we still had non-married friends. So we still hung out with other friends. We were very intentional about, hey, we don't want to leave our friend group, so let's still hang out. Let's still go here. Let's still go there. And we did a lot of that for a while, but then, you know, then you start having kids.
Yeah.
And then you try to – the thing, though, that was for us, we always stayed intentional about having community. Mm-hmm. So we had our first son, and he was the only child for quite a bit of years. And so everywhere we just took him with us.
Yeah.
And so if you know him today, you'll know, you know, he kind of he's a little bit sharper because he was with adults very often. He, you know, sometimes you got, you know, I say sharper in the sense that, like, you know, he thinks he's an adult sometimes, like, you're still the son, but but he just kind of went wherever we went. Right. But also we had other friends with kids, and you'll notice life kind of starts to do that. Your seasons of life will just change with you, right? So you're married, now you get other married friends. You've stayed single. Well, sometimes you have other single friends. You have kids, you find people with kids. And those are the natural connections. But the entire time we were very intentional about still finding community. And it did help for us that we, a lot of our friends were entering similar seasons. That's not everyone, yeah, right? Sometimes people are the best of friends and one friend gets married and the other person has been single. And that can cause challenges sometimes, you know, and those are all natural things. But the intentionality, I think, is going to be key for anybody that is looking for community, or to your point that you made earlier, not everyone's always looking for community, but I think the challenge from our episode today is that you would still try to find somebody, try to find communities, yeah, that try to find people that you are able to live with. Uh-huh. You know, it's very churchy to say do life with, right? Which I think about do that. It them. Makes sense to me, absolutely. But I'm always, have you ever heard anything like churchy and go, I wonder what this sounds like?
What
is
that? What does that mean? Like, to the average folk?
But just basically people that you are living life with and, right, and experiencing things.
Yeah. You said earlier before we started filming about how it takes a village, mm-hmm, to raise a kid or, yeah, to raise somebody. But at the same time, it requires villagers. Mm-hmm. It requires those willing to stay connected, you know, yeah, and maybe we can identify some things. But in a village, you have those who cook, you have those who build, you have those who teach, you, mm-hmm, have those who instruct and correct, and you have those who set atmosphere and all these different things, right? And this all these things make a person in a village, in that analogy. But you have to be willing to stick around. And I think one of the things that I've seen, you know, in young adults as well, and this is just one case in point, but people come once and they're like, I just didn't find community. Well, so you gotta be willing to stick around, yeah, you know? Yeah. And I think there is it can be scary to go into an atmosphere where you don't know anyone, mm-hmm, where you have to put yourself out there. But like anything in life, you got to put yourself out there sometimes. If, yeah, it's a relationship or if it's, you know, a new thing, you're doing a new venture, a new job, you have to put yourself out there, you know, and see what will happen, see what God will do. And I think it's really important that we know that, you know, God is with us and, mm-hmm, he has designed us for community. And I'll just say this from my own personal experience, you know, I have been more blessed by doing life in godly community than I could have ever done in just errands of the world.
Yeah.
Because the people that God will bring, and I've shared this before, but there was a time in my life where I was asking God, bring me some brothers in the faith and, mm-hmm, some godly connection. And God did it.
Yeah.
And my 20s have been so blessed because of a decision to say, you know what, God, I want to be obedient to your design for me, not to be in solitude forever, but to be able to be connected with people, yeah, that you want in my life. And I think it's really important to identify that there's those in life that are for friends, that are for seasons, some for reasons and some for lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be able to say, you know what, God, this is maybe not in my makeup and DNA to want to be around people,
yeah,
but I'm willing to put myself out there to say, all right, God, I'm willing to be able to be in community and to see what you'll do with it. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes we look at it from a consumer point of view, like, well, what can they provide for me? What can they do for me? And what can, you know, and it's like, man, what can you do for others? Like, let's flip kind of narratives a little bit. Like, what do you have to provide, you know, mm-hmm, that maybe someone in that space of community needs, you, yeah, know, if you're able to, you know, sometimes a lot of people in general, they're overthinkers.
Yeah.
And like, I know in my life, I could be an overthinker. My brother, the one that can be chill alone, he is straight shooter. He is black and white.
Yeah.
And sometimes I need that. Like, yeah, okay, I'm thinking too much right now. I just need someone that's very this or that.
Yeah.
And it brings clarity to my life, you know? And so community has benefits because there's different people in the village, mm-hmm, that can provide things that you don't have, you know? And that's why it's important to be able to put yourself out there in those circles. And I think about, you know, I mentioned earlier, but Jonathan and David, you know, Jonathan and David had this brotherly bond connection, but Jonathan was willing to put himself out there. There's so many times that he was, you know, saving David from Saul killing him and letting, yeah, him know, and there was preparation and there's all these things, but it's beautiful. You know, community is a blessing. It's not anything bad. But at the same time, Pastor Tony, what do you think? I mean, there's people that have been hurt and they've been, yeah, burned and they've been, you know, they've had some bad experiences in community, and you know, they're maybe afraid to step into community because of the last experience. And so,
yeah,
what do you do with those people that maybe say, you know, I don't want it, I don't need it, because I already know how that works and it don't turn out good because, you know, people are not, you know, not the best at times. And so,
yeah, well, those are a lot of good points that you talked about, and I'm glad you brought up that villager comment. I had forgot about that already. But Holy Spirit, help me to answer some of these, because there's some, yeah, really good thoughts that I think we see in scripture as well. One of the first things, though, that came to mind when you were saying something, I thought of the scripture that it's better to give than to receive.
Yeah.
And I think about when we see community or putting ourselves out there more as putting out the gifts that we have on our life and contributing those, giving those to our community versus mm-hmm. what we're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's wrong to pray that prayer. I actually think it's brilliant to God, give me this, right? Like give me people in my life. But then once you have a community, I think it's really cool to say, what can I give to this?
Yeah.
Maybe you have a gift of hospitality. Maybe you have a home and your other friends don't have a home.
Yep.
And you can be the place where they can gather.
Yeah.
Right. I remember even from my teenage years, there was the house that our friends all went to.
Yeah.
You know, they had a large house, they had a pool, and we all just naturally wanted to go there. And it was, and so what a, now as an adult, like, oh man, I want to provide that for my kids. Yeah. But also I think of, you know, there was a gift of hospitality on them and on his mom, and there's always snacks there and food, and there's going to be a natural place. Now, what, maybe you can give that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not your gift though, but you can, maybe you're a funny or you're a lighthearted personality. What can, in other words, you ask yourself, what can I bring to community? And this is where it's going to take some work, because mm-hmm. some people struggle with this with their own with self-esteem issues, right? Like, oh, well, I don't have that. And some people, this is not a problem, right? They know exactly what they have to offer, or they're confident in what they bring, right? To a friendship, to a relationship, which is awesome. But I think there are some people that maybe struggle with this. Well, I don't, you know, I don't have money, or I don't have a home. I don't have this. I'm not funny. I'm like, well, I ask the Holy Spirit in the same way that you're asking for community, ask what you do bring. Maybe you're a compassionate person.
Yep.
It doesn't cost anything to be compassionate. So what you offer to the community is that you're going to be a good listener.
Yeah.
And that when someone is going through something, you're listening and you're compassionate. So guess who they're going to call?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to call the person who's compassionate to you, who listens well. And I think when I think about groups of friends, I have, it's kind of like you have an arsenal, right? Your village is full of an arsenal of the encourager, the someone who's going to say, let's ride at dawn, the person who's going to say, come over, the person who's going to feed you, the person who's going to make you laugh. And the thing is, that's, we're curating a space for us to live.
Yeah.
And so you, and going back to, it's better to give than to receive. Stop always thinking of it like what I have to get out of it, mm-hmm. and think about what you give to it, which goes to the point that I really believe is becoming a challenge with the idea of people don't want to live in inconvenience. Mm. I see it with young parents, or I see it with families where, hey, we have our schedule, we have our this, we have naps, we have that. I am not going to be inconvenienced in any way. So it, maybe I'll bless you with my time. Now, no one actually says it like that, but it can come off that way.
Yeah.
And so to me, my challenge would be, and this is the quote that was saying, it costs something.
Mm-hmm.
To be a villager, there isn't. You got to show up when you don't want to. Sometimes you do have to take that 2 a.m. phone call, even though you work the next day.
Right.
Sometimes you do have to go help your friend change the tire in the middle of the night, or when you know you have to drive somewhere and it costs you gas money or it costs you food. Relationships take a cost.
Yeah.
But whatever it costs you, it gets paid back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where I think the Holy Spirit led me to this notion, what you talked about, people who have been burned. Because sometimes people, it does not get paid back, or they felt burned.
Yeah.
They felt like they were the only one giving, and the friend or someone in a group was only taking. They were only calling you. They were only asking for rides. They were only doing this, and they pulled and they pulled and they pulled. And at the end of the day, you felt betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not hanging out as much. You don't want to have that happen again, because it hurt you, made you feel silly. Maybe someone embarrassed you. And this is where I really believe is going to be a key thing. I believe that there are people that are listening, watching, that need to forgive. And not to let that person off the hook, but to let them off the hook, because their unforgiveness. I'm not saying go back to that friend if that's not right. There's this book called by Dr. Henry Cloud called Necessary Endings. I haven't read the whole thing, but from what I've read, it's been powerful. The idea that some things can end. You said it. What did you say? Like sometimes Lifetime, season, reason.
Yep.
Right. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And we don't have, it doesn't have to be the end of the world when those seasons end. Yeah. When a friendship's end. We were talking about with Ian how sometimes your friends are the ones who are on your kid's soccer team. Well, guess what? The soccer season ends. Doesn't mean that you didn't have fun with those people while you were playing together, but guess what? They're going on to a new team. Like, where's the time for all these people? Yeah. We get that. Right. You don't have to feel bad and, oh my gosh, they're going to think I didn't really like them. No, I think if you're an adult, we grow up, we learn some of these things. Hey, it was great. Sometimes you might keep that number and still hang out with them. Sometimes you won't.
Yeah.
So I think we want to get in those things and really understand that those can be those things. But
right.
Forgiveness is going to be a key component.
Yep.
And I just want to throw that out there to challenge you to consider that and then just forgive.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You forgive, you release. Father, that person has hurt me. They've betrayed me. And I forgive them and I release them to you. And what that does is the weight off of your heart. It's something supernatural happens.
Yeah.
There's that weight off of your heart that will maybe let you start to trust again.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying go call that friend if it ended badly, but maybe now there'll be room to let someone else in. Mm-hmm. And watch how God will heal your heart, repair your heart, and you're going to find someone prayerfully that that is able to be a good friend to you, someone that and a village that you can contribute towards. But again, it costs. There's a cost. Mm-hmm. What does it cost? It costs attendance. It costs showing up. It costs going to cheer on their kids' games. You know, again, the season that I'm in, there's all these. I can come up with 1,000 reasons, and people, oh, I know you're busy. Like, no, but I shouldn't be too busy to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because relationship is not a one-way street.
Right.
You know, and we don't want to be arrogant where we think, well, I'm blessing someone with my presence.
Yeah.
Like it costs. It will take a cost, and guess what? You'll have a more fruitful, richer relationship. Yep. When both people, because what happens is, I remember when I got married, it is the most, at our wedding, I was overwhelmed with emotion because what happened is it was such a humbling position to be in. Mm. Almost overwhelmingly so, because you're in this room full of people that you recognize have taken time from their day. Some of them showed up early. They're going to stay late. Yeah. They're going to set up chairs for you. Again, we did this on a budget. So, you know, you need an army. You need a village.
Yep.
Of people that are going to come show through. Up. And you know that you're so grateful. I could cry because you're so grateful, but I can't pay you back. I can't pay you back. You almost feel like I don't deserve this. I don't like, but it's just, that's the beauty of this. In landing the plane, let's point this back to what this means, right? Okay, we talked about these issues. We talked about these things. What does God call for us to do? Where can we find community? All right, you keep saying find them. What does that look like? Well, a couple of things that we can do. Obviously, our bend is going to be towards the church because the church is God's bride. The church is what we know is God's answer for the world, but even in us in community. A couple of scriptures I want to talk us to.
Yeah.
But one of the things that is important that we understand, if you're a believer in Christ, you belong to a family of God.
Yep.
You are no longer an orphan. You are no longer a loner. You have brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
I remember when I was teaching my children this idea, like, why do you call them brother? Why do you call them sister? Again, our Christianese language, right. You see someone, hey, brother, hey, sister. And I grew up in a church tradition where everyone was brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And that was just their name. Right? But what are we saying? We're speaking a language of saying you're my brother in Christ, yeah, or my sister in Christ. So one, I'm going to treat you accordingly. I'm going to respect you accordingly. And we're a family, mm-hmm, right? There's a family component to this. So even if you do feel alone, when you're coming to church, you're amongst other believers. Romans 8 tells us this, that we are sons and daughters.
Yep.
So we belong to a family. So when we go in with the confidence of knowing, I might not have a lot of common with all these people, but these are my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
So I'm already I have one up on anyone else who's just kind of trying to cold turkey find people.
Right.
But so belonging to God, another thing is commit to a community.
Yep.
It takes commitment. Now you now oversee a ministry. You recognize that for any given service, there's teams that make it happen, prayer teams, worship teams, ushers, greeters. there's a level of commitment that you ask of the people that serve with you to show up, to come, to be on time at a certain thing. There, all those is just kind of a model when we do life. I'm making a commitment to a community. So that means if I'm going to go to a small group and I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to commit. I'm going to show up for people when I say I'm going to let my yes be my yes. And I'm going to make a commitment to like you said, try something out. Don't show up once and be like, I just didn't really like that. That's not how things go. Like you can't quit after one thing. One of my closest friends in my entire life is funny because we joke about it to this day because I had none the wiser. But I remember when I started dating Angelina, my wife, they were friends. So I kind of inherited him as a friend because they're like brother and sister. Plus so one. I'm just like hanging out. And I'm thinking it's all good, but later we find out in marriage, like, I remember when I first met you, I hated you. No. Like, what are you talking about?
Yikes.
I appreciate him because he called me. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? How's it going, man? He's like, oh, nothing. I just got to let you know, man. I don't like you, bro. I'm like, what?
I respect that. I do.
I'm saying we're still like brothers to this day.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like. I'm like, what are you talking? Again, I'm oblivious. I'm that guy, right? That's like, what do you mean you don't like me? I've never had someone not like me. I'm just kidding. But there was a sense of I'm gonna commit to community. And again, through the years, through those things, it forged us and made us stronger. And because we didn't quit, you don't just quit once because we didn't click right away.
A marriage wouldn't work that way, you know.
Marriage, absolutely.
Relationships and all these things. I'll share a couple of thoughts as we wrap up here. But I had a friend recently, you know, and we don't see each other often, but I saw their story on social media, and they had a relative who had passed away, and they were just, and it happened to be their birthday, and I was like, it's like the friend's birthday, but then their aunt passed away that day. You know? So it's like, what do you say to that, you know? And I just remember thinking, you know, I'm just going to say, hey, whatever you need, I'm here. And I knew I wasn't saying that loosely. Like, I'm aware, I'm committing right now that whatever they have need of, to the best of my ability, if they ask, I'm going to be present. You know, not just, oh, no. Like, no, like, I'm committing to this. And I think that's the value that we get to access when we get into community. Like you mentioned, like, you know, you had people at your wedding that were willing to roll in and come through when you needed the most, you know? And these are the benefits that we get to see that, you know, we get to partake in one another's life. Like, what a joy. It's like, Bible says, you know, mourn with those who mourn, but then rejoice with those who rejoice. And, you know, when the waters come up, so do all the ships. And the same thing, when someone's winning a life, man, I'm rejoicing with you. But at the same time, when someone's hurting, man, I'll be here with you as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a benefit of just doing life. I'll share this one verse and passage really quickly here in Acts chapter 2. And it says this here, verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, miraculous signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And it goes on in Acts 4 and it says, and great grace was upon them all. And there is a grace for community. And I just, for you watching, I want to encourage you, trust the Lord. Like, trust him and see what he'll do, because there's beauty in beholding the design of God for your life and knowing that there is more to enjoy when you're around other people, because what they don't have, you have, and what you don't have, they have. And iron sharpens iron, and it's a benefit, a beauty, and have some fun.
Yeah,
do some laughs. You know, like the Bible says, laughter is good medicine for the soul. Man, you stop being so uptight. Just laugh. Like, get around community, have fun, do life. You know, it doesn't have to be so serious. And you'll look back one day at the end of your days when you're old and gray, and your days full and satisfied, and be like, I'm so thankful that I chose to do life with others, because we're designed that way.
Yeah. So I want to close this out in prayer, because again, I just sense that there are people that maybe struggle in this area. And sometimes some people get the sense that, you know, you have community, but they're not godly. Right. They're not they don't necessarily bring you to a high standard. They're not calling you up. And so it's like, how do I let go of those relationships? You know, like, but they've been there. They're my day ones. They've been there forever. They're loyal to me. They check a lot of boxes, but not always the best boxes.
Right.
And so I want to pray for you that God would highlight to you some things that you can do and give you direction.
Remove the bad ones.
Yeah, because I think, you know, especially if you know, it's important who we surround ourselves with. It is. But Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and I thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this conversation, Jesus. I just want to ask you, Lord God, for those listening, those watching, Jesus, that you would just bless them, Lord, with deep, godly relationships, Jesus, with those who feel lonely, who feel discouraged, who feel depressed, Lord God, or lonely, Jesus, who kind of feel like they fit in the topic that we talked about today, Jesus. I just pray that you bless them, Lord God, that they would identify themselves as your children, Lord God, that they are not alone. They're not by themselves, Jesus. They have you. And again, that you would bring them community, walk them into spaces with long-lasting friendships and deep relationships with godly people, Lord God. Those who have been hurt, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would allow them to forgive, Jesus, and be healed in that area, Lord, that they were not just disappointed. It's not from you, Lord God, but Jesus, that they would be able to walk forward, and again, that you're going to heal that part of their heart, Jesus. So again, we thank you. Bless these relationships. Bless community. We thank you that you did not design us to be alone, Lord God, and that we know that we have our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can follow you together, arm in arm, and be strengthened in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, God bless you. Like, share, comment, subscribe, ask questions, post it on socials, whatever it takes, guys. Help us get this word out, and we're just so grateful that you're here. Love you. See you next time.